Welcome to the East Coast Offense Podcast. This is Chris Liss of RotoWire, and my co-host is Dalton Del Don of Yahoo Sports. What's up, Dalton? You got something on your mind already? Before we even get started, you got something to say? Go ahead.
Yeah, normally this format is for you to complain about things, and I sit here and I listen, which is fine. But earlier tonight, I was like washing my hands in my bathroom, and I noticed that my sink was a little slow to drain. Nothing crazy, but just a little slower than normal. So I poured some Drano down it, like I have done a bunch of times in my life. Went and ate dinner, came back about a half hour later and realized, oh, I'm supposed to flush it with hot water for 5 minutes, you know, after it settles in there. So turn the hot water on, close the door because my daughter's like bugging me and should go in there and try to get up there and touch the water. And then she's taking my attention away elsewhere and demands the dog in the house and whatever. And then 5 minutes go by and I remember, oh, I better go shut that off. And I open the door, and the Drano apparently did not work, and there's like an inch and a half of water on my floor everywhere in this entire bathroom. And it's not the smallest bathroom, and it got to the cabinets below. Just a disaster. I mean, just an utter catastrophe. And it's not even just like you're cleaning up water. I mean, there might be like laced with Drano. So I don't even, I mean, like, right. my daughter's on her hands and knees playing with it, and it's just, and I got all these, every towel I own in the house is now just totally covered in water that might be laced with Drano. So just a nightmare tonight. And it hasn't been fun, but at least the Steelers are still alive for my bet. How about that?
Yeah. But we'll talk about that in a second, but man, well, at least you're doing the podcast. I would have just bailed on the podcast, but it's one of those things where I think you're one of those dudes like I am, like you're just marginally useful around the house. Like,
oh, I'm less than marginal.
I just changed this lamp, like these dead bulbs that Heather was like bitching at me about, like for like weeks, like, you got to change this. I'm like, I guess it's my job, you know, and I don't even like this lamp. It's above our bed. I finally went in. It was no big deal. I had to like unscrew the stuff, whatever. I don't want to get into the details. It's so boring. But basically, like, you know, I'm not very good at that stuff. And if there's a disaster, I assume I'll do my best, but I'm going to have to call in help and spend money. And so I can only imagine something like this where, you know, you're going to have to make sure like nothing got rotted, like none of the cabinets, like get to replace that stuff. What a pain.
Yeah, and it seeped into the carpet, you know. I mean, that's what I'm really concerned about. I guess we'll find out if it stains or something tomorrow, but I've been really trying to get that out. Yeah, I'm the type of dude who, you know, I have a mouse problem in my garage, and I had someone come over to set traps for me. Like, I'm pathetic, you know. Like, I can't handle that housework by myself very well. I can't change light bulbs, I will say that. But
no, but this was – I got in there, I'd unscrew the case for them, and then the bulbs had broken off, and I had to, like – whatever, it's not even that big a deal, but I had to figure out a way to unscrew it with the broken bulbs, and I deal a little bit more than, you know, than I thought I could sometimes. I impressed myself. I helped Heather start her car when her battery died. I had to deal with the jumper cable, stuff like that. I feel very accomplished when I do something like that. We figured it out. Actually, we did need help from this dude, though. Actually helped us out with the jumper cables. I had 99% of it. It was just I needed to gas the car while she was gassing the car. Didn't realize that, but anyway.
When I open my bathroom door tonight, I guarantee I would have spent at least $250 just to make that go away. Just to have someone come in to deal with that, not myself, because it was just
like to go back in time and not turn the water on. Right, like how much would you spend on that?
Right, that's what I'm saying. At least $250, maybe $500. I could be talked into at this
point. I
think
$1,000 is probably what it's worth.
Well, yeah, I'll let you know tomorrow. Yeah, this could turn into the rotting. Maybe I didn't get the rotting wood, the carpet. But maybe I'm underestimating it because I'm still not sure of the ramifications.
Yeah, it's probably going to be, maybe even $2,000. You'll be surprised how bad it is. Anyway, and Drano is super poisonous. I mean,
I'm aware. I've been washing my daughter's feet and hands. It could be even worse than
I mean, it's diluted probably enough that if she touched it when it was on the floor, she's probably okay. But it's still pretty bad.
Yeah, it wasn't ideal.
Yeah, that's just hell. That's bad. And, you know, when I was a kid, we used to I used to take a bath in the morning before school sometimes. And I was always so tired because I stay up late. And I put the stopper in, turn the bath on, and go back to bed. And at least three times that thing overflowed. And I was on the 15th floor in Manhattan and flooded the person's apartment below us. Like destroyed, you know, the paint job. Like very, very bad. And you know, the feeling of like that waking up with the start and realizing there was water pouring into your room and knowing the consequences from the people beneath. At least you don't have that. At least you don't have someone living below you where you know, you're getting other people involved in that case.
Yeah, that'd be horrifying, actually affecting other people. Right. This is just my own fault, and I'm an idiot, and right. I'll just deal with it. But yeah, no, that's bad. You said you did that 3 times?
At least two, and I'm thinking it was 3. At least 2. I think maybe 3.
Well, I have always called you absent-minded, so I'm not.
No, it was really bad. But it was just, yeah. It was bad. It was a bad thing. It was irresponsible. I've got a lot of bad karma for my house. I mean, you know, we've had some stains on the couch and stuff. We had parties here, and some stuff got broken. But I haven't used nearly. I've used like 2% of it up. So I'm right. bracing for the bad things that are going to happen. Anyway, I'm sorry to hear that, man. That's terrible.
Yeah, it was frustrating, but yeah. let's move on.
So. Okay, a couple other things. You know, I won $500 yesterday in a DFS Hoops lineup. It was a $10 lineup, won $500.
No, I didn't. Nice. Congratulations.
Second. Yeah, thank you.
What was first?
It was 500. They were both 500. It was the happy hour contest on FanDuel, and for some reason, 1 and 2 both pay 500. So
okay.
It was good.
So you might have won, right. So.
And, you know, Hoops is, like, so much easier than football, because Hoops is, like, you just need to figure out the scrubs that are getting minutes and then the good guys that are going to go off. And you got to guess a little bit, but you got to think, okay, who's getting, you know, who's going to be in a close game that has to play a lot of minutes against the, not like a Spurs defense, and who's not on the second end of a back-to-back. You know, you just kind of like find the 3 or 4 stars that are set up right and then put in a few scrubs that are getting minutes.
So some random guy who's getting a start when he normally doesn't. He's cheap, yeah.
Right, because you need to get 5 times, or I call half value. But, you know, for guys like priced at 4,500, and he just needs, you know, 22.5 points to earn that, right? To get to 300 points, which is basically the cash level in these tournaments. And so, you know, if you get a guy who's getting 34 minutes because the starting point guard's out and he's just playing, he's going to get those 22 points. Like, he's almost always going to get the 22 points. I mean, sometimes it just busts, but usually he's going to get there. And so you find the 3 or 4 guys who like kind of guarantee. That's the easy part, kind of, is finding the late scratches and subbing guys in. And then the hard part is just putting the rest of the pieces with your big budget guys together that get the minutes. The hard part is because, you know, LeBron, you play him and he'll sit the fourth quarter, or it'll be a blowout, or
yeah, Curry almost every other game sits out the fourth.
Right. And, you know, sometimes he's done enough damage through 3, but you really don't want that. You want it to be a close game that, you know, with a minute left, he's shooting 3s and. But so that's the hard part, but it's not that hard. You know, it's just, and then once, you know, you do some contrarian stuff, it's actually fun. I'm really getting into DFS Hoops.
Yeah. Well, $10 turned into 500 is pretty awesome. But I think I find it very entertaining just, you know, reading you and listening to you and how just totally into DFS you've become, because you were like reluctant to start. And now you're like, you weren't even following basketball last season.
No,
I don't think as far
basketball.
As I know. I mean, you're just like totally into it, which kind of says a lot, actually, frankly.
Yeah, well, you know, I didn't really like those little DFS guys. Like, oh, it's DFS, you know, DFS is the thing, you know, and it just seemed like this, I don't know, maybe just because I wasn't part of it, you know, and so
right,
you don't
right.
like, you know, I'm in the old school, I've been around a long time doing season-long fantasy, and who are these little punks coming in and, like, you know, all this money's coming to the industry and little smart asses, you know, but maybe there was an element of that. I don't really, you know, I hate everybody, so, I mean, maybe there's probably something to it, but I don't think that was really it. I just thought, I don't know. It was just something. I just never really invested myself in it. I didn't take the time to do it, and so I never. You know, just nothing's good. Nothing's fun unless you like invest some time. It's like I suck at golf, right? Like I like hitting the ball, but I suck. And I'm sure I would enjoy it more if I like practiced and took lessons and like was able to like actually be competitive at it. You know, I'd probably start to like it more. It's just one of those things. You got to give your like. I think golf sucks. I hate golf. I don't hate hitting the ball, but I just don't care about golf on TV. I don't care about DFS golf. I don't care about season-long golf. I just don't care about it. But it's because I've just never really focused on it, right? So, but I bet
if you practice for a year, then you wouldn't hate golf. I bet if you just jump ahead a year of you practicing and getting better at it.
Right, right. That's what I'm saying. Or if I, you know, yeah. Or if I started doing DFS golf, somebody was like, "Here's $1,000, go learn DFS golf and get good at it." I'm sure I'd start getting into it. You know, whatever. You can get into anything almost. But I do have to say that Hoops is a really fun version of it. I think football is kind of sucks, actually. DFS, I still do it, of course. Of course I do it. But it's football is just, like, so frustrating. Like, this weekend it was like, oh, I don't have the Chiefs defense. I guess I'm not going to win any serious money this weekend.
Well, yeah, and also I would just argue that football is, you're so invested in your own, your season-long teams that it's just once a week, whereas basketball and baseball are marathons. So, like, you know, you get really intense with whatever starter you pick that day for baseball and DFS or basketball that you're not even in too many season-long leagues. So yeah. It even makes, you know, fundamental more sense there, where I have plenty invested on Sundays. Frankly, you know, I mean, I don't really need a whole nother brand-new lineup. I mean, I played it as well, don't get me wrong, and it is fun. But just in that aspect alone, you know, I think to me it makes sense as far as these games, you know, these leagues that are more frequently played probably – you know, lends itself more to DFS.
Yeah, no, that's true. Although I will say that this one day I put in $450 worth of football lineups, all like $2 and $5 lineups. And I was like doing some stuff and I was like paying attention to my Stopa League stuff and, you know, the season long stuff. And I didn't really check FanDuel for a while. I knew my guys, like I usually pick a core four or five guys, a couple running backs and receivers. And I vary it around. And then the other positions vary around those guys. And the four core guys I had, like, you know, I had Mariota, the game that he ran for that 80-yard touchdown, and a couple other guys. Allen Robinson had, like, three touchdowns, something crazy. And I started thinking, my core guys are doing pretty well. I better check. And this is, like, the end of the midway through the fourth quarter of the early games. And I checked, and it said, you know, it shows how much you invest on one side, 450, and how much you're winning. And it was 19,000. And I was like, holy shit. You know, and I was like literally a fraction of a point away from 100,000 because I was the one that I was at 15,000. The one contest, the guy who was in first place at 100,000 was like 0.8 points ahead of me. And of course, there was that Steelers game afterwards, and it dwindled down from 19 to 10 to 6 to 4 to 2. And then at the end, I it was $600. So I invested 450 and I took back 600. But it just gave me a glimpse of, you know, what was possible. You know, if
right, and I will say, like baseball, you know, it's like when I enter a lineup, it'd be like, whatever could happen. This pitcher could get blown up. What does it matter? Past performance, Jose Bautista could go 0-for-4 in the best matchup versus a lefty, whatever. But football, I'm like, man, based on these prices, I have a top five guy on my ranking across the board for this week. Like, how is this sick lineup not going to win $1 million? I talk myself into that in football far too much. When it turns out to not even win a double up or something. So I mean, it's funny how. At least for me, I can talk myself into football far more than I can, say, basketball or baseball, and it oftentimes turns out to be a total dud.
Yeah, baseball, there's so much variance. I mean, baseball, I mean, I can say, okay, you get, let's just say, like, we both take the same pitcher, and I say, you get an unlimited budget for hitting. So you could just stack any hitters you want, and I'm stuck with the budget on any site. Like, the chance that I beat you is, like, 20% probably.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
It's like, there's no... Even football, though. Basketball, you would almost certainly win if you had unlimited budget because you would just have a full team of, like, Russell Westbrook and Curry and LeBron, and you just get so many points. But in baseball, you could have a team of Trout and Harper, and they could all go for four.
They could all go for four. Yeah, exactly.
Baseball's crazy. I like to set a lot of lineups for baseball, and I think football you need even more. I mean, honestly, you need to set, like, 200 lineups just to get your core guys and get the defenses and kickers around them that you need. Because, you know, that can just screw you. I think Stopa would have won $1 million, except he had, like, it was last year, and he had, like, the Denver defense that was really good, or some defense that was really good. He didn't do well. And the Green Bay defense that wasn't that good fantasy-wise went off, and he could have afforded them. And had he put them in, he would have won $1 million.
Yeah, well, I have to plug my Yahoo. We do not use kickers on DFS, which I have to say is probably the right way to go.
Yeah. Well, speaking of which, and I want to get into these games in a second. I was just thinking, you know, the games this week were so bad, okay? And I wrote about this. Like, the last one, I just went to the pool to play with Sasha. I was in Palm Springs at a hotel, and I had a good time. You know, I was, like, throwing her up in the air, and she likes to, like, just – I was literally throwing her 5 feet in the air, and she would just splash into the water, dunk, you know, and, like, float up to the top and then want to get thrown up again. And that's fun, right? And I was doing that instead of watching the Redskins game, which apparently was the only half-decent one. But the other three, I was, like, not doing stuff at the hotel. I was sitting in the room just getting enraged and miserable and watching stuff. And here's the thing that makes me the most enraged. And there's many things. But is that it's the NFL is just totally arbitrary, okay? And one thing that has to end is you have to end of penalizing the team for a player doing something bad, harming another player, cursing out a ref. They need to figure out a penalty, okay? And then there should be due process like a trial, you know, with the videotape and everything else, where that guy loses 200 grand, everybody on the team loses 20 grand out of their own pocket, the coach loses 500 grand, the team loses a draft pick, whatever you got to do to deter it. But don't affect the game. Because to me, you know, the Bengals basically beat the Steelers, And then because they call that hit on Perfect, and I won't talk about that in a second, and then they call the second one on Pac-Man Jones, which was just ridiculous. The refs just basically said, you know what, I think Pittsburgh's going to win this game, not Cincinnati. And the thing about the Perfect hit, it was after the play. I mean, it didn't affect the play. Antonio Brown was not catching that pass. It had already gone through his hands or over his head. The result of the game should not be altered based on a disciplinary thing. There should be penalties for that, because what happens is you saw what happened in Seattle, Minnesota, and basically the Vikings won that game, but the kicker missed a short chip shot, and therefore Seattle won that game. And so nothing was settled. There was not like Seattle won or Russell Wilson did this or no. It was basically just gifted. The kicker and the kicking team, whatever the laces or whatever you want to talk about, gifted that win. It was totally arbitrary. It's a coin flip. Why would I invest myself emotionally in one side or the other when whoever advances is basically just a coin flip? And that you can't help. As long as you have kicking, you can't help, and there's all sorts of lucky stuff. But you can help taking away non-on-the-field related penalties and making those decide the game.
My wife would be laughing if she heard you say this, because I said, what's the point of all this so many times this weekend when I'm cursing and going apeshit at the TV? But can I give you a counter as far as that Steelers game? It's not exactly what you're saying, but as far as the refs go, mm-hmm. Now, admittedly, I was rooting heavily for Pittsburgh, but this that hit on Gio Bernard, right, which was brutal for sure, yeah, but perfectly legal. He was he established himself.
You can't helmet to helmet a runner.
But the NFL has come out and said that was a legal hit. He's established. Yes, you can. When you establish yourself as a runner,
you can hit him. You can spear him helmet to helmet when he's running with the ball.
The league's come out and said that was a legal hit.
I'm asking you a question. If some running back, he was definitely a runner. I have no question, no problem with that. But he definitely led helmet to helmet.
I'm not positive about that. Don't quote me. But my point I'm making is it was ruled legal and it was ruled a fumble and they blew the whistle. Why not just let the play, you know, finish and then go ahead and review? If they rule that correctly, or at least they rule it a fumble and let the play finish, it's an easy walk-in defensive touchdown, and it's 22-0, and the entire game changes, including Roethlisberger not getting hurt and Antonio Brown probably not getting hurt, and I have a lot of money on them, 25-1 to win the Super Bowl, so I'm enraged on the other side.
Okay, but think about this, right? Like, it was definitely a fumble, but I thought it was an illegal hit. I don't know why they're saying it's legal. He drilled him with his head into his head. I thought that's illegal no matter where you are in the field. You know, I mean, you're allowed to helmet to helmet.
You can tackle running back helmet to helmet.
You can go. You can just go and lead with the helmet and hit him in the helmet while he's running with the ball.
It happens all the time.
It happens like by accident in a pile, but you're allowed to go lead with the helmet and take him out.
I'm pretty sure you can tackle a running back using your helmet.
You can hit him in the head with your head.
Yeah, I don't think you want to crown a quarterback or something, but I'm pretty sure you can hit a running
back. And you can't do it with a defenseless receiver. But
right. I'm pretty sure you can tackle a running back with the helmet, yes.
You can just like, so a running back's running with the ball. Adrian Peterson's trying to straight.
They lower their head.
Full speed helmet and crack him with your helmet to his head. You can do that.
That happens all the time when a running back lowers his head into the
defense. Right. Well, when if he lowers his head, then it's inadvertent. I mean, you don't know. It's not on purpose. But you're allowed to purposely spear a guy to tackle him with your helmet?
All I'm saying is that has been ruled a legal hit.
Okay. So, point taken then, okay, in that case. But here's my – I got two things to say about this Perfect thing. I got killed on Twitter for this, but I don't care. I'm going all in because I really saw it this way. And I was rooting for the Bengals, but they covered, so I don't really care one way or the other that much. It was just – okay. So let's say you do something that is a penalty, like hold a guy or block him in the back during a play. Obviously, those penalties need to count and negate the play and affect the game because – or pass interference or whatever, because that changed the outcome on the field. But any sort of personal foul after the fact, I just don't think they should be assessing penalty yardage or changing outcomes of games, because I think that makes it more arbitrary. Nobody wants to see – everyone's like, oh, Perfect, such an idiot, or, you know, Odell Beckham shouldn't have speared Josh Norman, or – this guy shouldn't have cursed out the ref, or Pac-Man Jones should have kept his mouth shut. It doesn't matter what they should have or shouldn't have done. We don't want to say, oh, you won, but this guy cursed out the ref, so you lost. Like, that's just stupid. It's a stupid reason for NFL games with this much at stake to be decided. It should be decided on the field. And if a guy does something really bad, then he should be punished. But it shouldn't change the outcome of the game. It just makes no sense. There's no good policy reason for a different team advancing because of some random thing that happens. And, of course, the Perfect hit – the play, it did not affect the play. It was already incomplete. And I will defend him a little bit. Antonio Brown jumped up to catch that ball and in a very short time landed and then ducked his head. He jumped full extension, landed, ducked his head. That's the only reason he got hit in the head. Burfict was coming across. He actually hit him with the shoulder, not his helmet, and would have just drilled him with the shoulder in the midsection if he hadn't ducked and lowered his head. Now, he might have been a beat late. Like, that was, I can buy that he was a little bit late on it because the ball had already gotten through his hands. But how do you know he saw that, right? He sees Antonio Brown jumping up to make a catch, and he's running full speed to drill him in the event that he catches it or is juggling it or whatever. And then Antonio Brown abruptly goes down and lowers his head. Now, of course, Jim Nantz and Phil Simms, who were like apologists for, you know, total cowardice and, you know, and total corporate yes men advertisement, whatever they are. They're just like the guys who are like, oh, I'm so appalled. Like when Joe Buck, you know, mocked Randy Moss, got on Randy Moss so hard for mock mooning the Green Bay fans after a touchdown. And, you know, these guys immediately were like, Burfict's a bad guy. He did this on purpose. And then everybody like, oh, it's on purpose and all this. Who the hell knows, man? He's just a guy who goes out to drill the crap out of you every time and isn't very careful about it. I don't think he was, like, intentionally trying to take Antonio Brown out. He certainly wouldn't have wanted to commit a penalty in that situation. He's just doing what he does and plays very rough defense. I don't think he was trying to hit him in the head.
Well, it is interesting that he was seething on the sidelines, and anyone who was watching that game literally could say to themselves, uh-oh, this guy's going to hurt someone. Like, he was going crazy. And I fully admit, legal or not, that hit on Bernard was brutal. I mean, that was definitely, right. Got your attention. I get it. But then Burfict goes out and hurts Roethlisberger, and there's footage, I don't know if you've seen it, of him literally kneeing Roethlisberger in that shoulder getting up after the hit.
Right.
And then that Antonio Brown one, which, of course, those are bang-bang plays, though. Those are so tough. But it's crazy that you could have predicted, uh-oh, this guy's going to go out to hurt someone. And then he knocks out their quarterback in Antonio Brown.
But you're supposed to go out and hurt someone. I mean, you're not supposed to injure them after the player illegally. But you're supposed to go out and pretty much hurt them when you're playing D. I don't mean injure them, but, like, what do you tell your defense? Like, you're like, when you tackle the guy over the middle, when he makes the catch, make him pay for it. Make him regret doing that, right? I mean, that's just basic NFL football. If your defense, when a receiver catches the ball over the middle and he's got a shot to just totally annihilate the receiver, you got to take it, right? You can't do it in the head, but you take it through the torso and you take it really hard. And
depends on how Antonio Brown moves at the last second.
Right.
Like, it's totally tough to, like, judge that.
Oh, yeah. No, he was standing straight up and jumping, and then he was, you know, ducked his head. So I don't deny that Burfict was out to, like, crush somebody and was mad and was playing mad, but that doesn't make it illegal. And in fact, like, that's what you're kind of supposed to do on D, right? It's not like you're supposed to just kind of gently tackle the guy down.
That's, and then the extra 15-yard penalty literally deciding a playoff game. I can totally understand why that would upset you,
right,
or anyone.
Okay,
I mean,
but that one, okay, but that one, okay, fine. It was kind of late also. It wasn't just a hit to the head, which I don't think the fact that he ducked was his fault, but it was also, you know, borderline late. And so, okay, 15-yard penalty, that makes it a 50-yard field goal. But the Adam Jones one is just crazy. I mean, that's just...
When Joey Porter's on the field, yeah, like, shouldn't sure. be, I mean, yeah, that, yeah. To, yeah, 30. What do they call, like, a 15 yards is around a point, they say? So 30-yard worth of penalties, basically worth two points in general. I mean, that's pretty crazy to decide a playoff game.
Yeah, they're down 1 point, you know, and they just gave them two.
Right.
You know, and in that situation, that, you know, it was like they were in big trouble because Ben couldn't throw the ball more than a few yards. And it's just not good. You know, it makes me not like the product. It makes me not care. If a game is basically won and there's great comeback and they play to A.J. Green and it's exciting and that's completely negated based on the whims of the ref, that's no good. So I was going to write a blog post. Maybe I still will about it. But I think that I can outline some ways in which personal fouls that don't affect the play on the field would be, you know, the player maybe get ejected. That's one penalty. And then, like, severe fines for him. Maybe everybody on the team gets fined. The franchise loses a draft pick after certain – you know, you could do some pretty harsh things that would deter them every bit as much as a 15-yard penalty. But it's not just about punishing the team. It's about punishing the fans. It's about ruining the game when you start making refs on the spot with no due process. There's no due process. There's no, okay, we're going to all watch the video. He gets to testify. The league gets to – you know, they could have a process over weeks to figure out the eventual punishment, how much fine, what draft picks they lose, anything like that. But with no due process, just some ref deciding the game on a whim, that's just not good for the game.
It's kind of crazy with so much on the line that these refs aren't even full-time employees.
Yeah, they're not even full-time employees, and they're deciding who advances. That's how stupid it is. It's just stupid. Anyway, and it was just the whole weekend of games was bad. And let's hope that that they're better this weekend. Because
yeah, I mean, no, I agree they were bad, but they were still like crazy finishes. Like, you know, I mean, I'm not going to complain that I wasted my weekend watching this.
I will. Mean, okay, you don't have to, but I am. I'm complaining about that.
All right.
It was a waste. It was a waste of my time.
Well, maybe because I've heavily invested in Pittsburgh and
yeah, but
and heavily invested in Seattle in all my playoff fantasy.
You're gross. You don't deserve.
My wife called me a terrible human being because you know we're Niner fans and I was going crazy for Go Hawks. But all right, let's talk about these upcoming divisional rounds.
All right, so let's talk about. All right, fine. Kansas City plus +5 at New England. I said on Twitter, I think this game is going to be, you know, before they decided who the opponent was, I said if it was at Kansas City, it would be 3.5. That was before the Macklin injury, so maybe it would have been 4. I was a little off. It's up to 5. But a lot of people are saying 7, and it's only 5, and 5 is kind of a dead number. You know, it's not that different from 3.5. So that's – Kansas City's getting respect. They won 11 in a row, and, you know, New England obviously kind of limped into the playoffs. And so how do you see this game?
Yeah, this will be so New England just to look terrible the last 2 weeks, just kind of punting and then take that bye week and Edelman will return healthy. And I know this is crazy thing. You hear about Chandler Jones just OD'd on pills? Did you hear about this?
I heard about that.
And you know that's
at Rob Gronkowski's house.
Yes. Well, that's unclear, but that's what the first tweet was. You know that's John Jones' brother, right? I know you don't follow MMA a lot, but
I know John. Didn't he have like a coke problem or something, John?
Yeah, that's his brother.
Ah, I didn't know that. And Chandler Jones is like one of their best defensive players.
Yeah, he's really good. So that's interesting, but they'll probably, whatever, even if there's a penalty, you know, they'll probably appeal that or whatever. So he's probably going to play, I would imagine, assuming he's okay physically.
Right. I mean, OD'ing on pills, I can't imagine the hangover is good after that.
Right.
Luckily, it's only early in the week. You know, I mean, you can get it back together.
Well, Jeremy Macklin, we're healthy for this because I actually looking forward to this game. And Kansas City certainly didn't look as great as the final score appeared against Houston. But, you know, I'm kind of finally buying into them. They have a really good defense. I think since the last, whatever, 9 weeks, they've allowed, like, the second fewest points per game and yards per game. And defense playing really well. New England's offensive line, very shaky. So, normally I'm just all about New England and Belichick. But I am taking the points here.
Yeah, I think I am, too, especially with this. I mean, this OD thing is bad, right? I mean, that's just, like, what are they doing, first of all? Why are you partying in between? I mean, you know, I'm fine like going out for a couple of drinks, but ODing on pills?
That's pretty hardcore. And Belichick showed up to the press conference with a black eye. You see that?
I didn't see that, no.
A legitimate black eye.
So you think someone popped him or you like slipped and fell?
I'm not going to go that spot. I would guess someone did not pop him, but it's funny to speculate that. Black eyes, you're right. Yeah, how else do you really get them? Yeah,
you could fall, I guess, but that kind of black eye. I mean, he probably got into a fight on the street over a taxi cab or something.
But it's his left eye, too, and most people are right-handed, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, my uncle, when he was, like, in his 40s, I remember when I was a kid, he had a nice new suit on and stuff and went out and some dude tried to steal a taxi cab and they got into a total fist fight in the slush and the snow on the street in New York City over a cab. Could be something like that.
No, definitely. Check it out. I'll send you the link. He has a legitimate shiner.
Did anyone ask him about it?
Yeah, of course. I mean, he said, coaches don't need to be on the injury report, but I would report myself if that's the case. You know, whatever.
Right,
typical
right,
glib.
Right. Yeah, quip.
Yeah.
He got popped in the face. I didn't know that, huh?
So quite the off week for New England.
Yeah, wow. And the pills, though, is just crazy. Yeah, you know, it's interesting that this number is 5 because 5 is like a dead number. As I said, it's kind of like 3. Well, 4 is like the next key number.
Yeah. In between, 4.5 and 6.5, basically.
And it's almost like, you know, this line's like pushed up a little, but I don't know. Actually, I'm not sure who I like here. I mean, I would think New England at home is just going to blow this team out. Kansas City was not that impressive last week. I mean, you know, Ryan Griffin dropped a perfect pass that was a touchdown. They had first and goal from the 2, and they did the stupid J.J. Watt play and a terrible pick. They had a kick return touchdown. Hoyer, like, gifted away a couple.
You know what, though? Kansas City, they forced turnovers. Whether you believe that's the thing, you know? I mean, maybe it was just lucky this last week, but they create turnovers.
Well, but Hoyer was creating the turnovers. I mean,
he was one of the one of the worst performances I've seen in playoffs in a while.
Yeah, I mean, he was terrible. And you know, I mean, it was on the road. It was certainly a solid game by them. But, you know, 30-0 is so misleading. It was really should have been something like, I don't know, 20-17, 20-14 or something like that. You know, they would have won, but it wasn't that dominant.
And I think Macklin does matter, and Spencer Ware is dealing with an ankle injury, and he's been much better than Charcandic West lately too. So I can totally see New England. I wouldn't be shocked at all if New England blows him out, but I also wouldn't be surprised if Kansas City wins outright. I think they're good. I'm going to go with the Chiefs here.
Yeah, all right. I'm going to hold off. I don't have a read on this yet. I'm going to have to think about this a little bit more. I see both sides. I think usually I like to take the favorites in the second round.
Yes.
And I also think that Kansas City is interesting because they really are, you know, they're kind of like their defense isn't that good, but they're kind of like the 2000 Ravens who had that 12 game winning streak. They just kept winning and they were a wild card team. And it's like, they were underdogs in a lot of those games. They were on the road. So
Brady's like 8-1 in this divisional round at home, which is crazy in itself. Just the fact that this will be his 10th game of his career, even playing a home game in this round. That's kind of crazy.
Yeah. Although, you know, I could see the Patriots this being down to the wire and Andy Reid botching the clock and New England winning like 2017 or something too. So,
right. That's the thing. They could still win by 4 points and Kansas City covers. So,
yeah. I might take – if I had to pick now, I'd probably take Kansas City. But I'm going to think about it. I also want to read the fallout from the Chandler Jones thing before I commit, because if he's out or there's some issue with Gronk, I mean, obviously those are huge. But I'm going to leave that. That's not one I feel strongly about. Let's do Green Bay plus 7 at Arizona. You know, the whole staff loved Washington. And we thought, well, you know, the numbers guys might be a little bit more on Green Bay The public may be on Green Bay because they're the obvious, name brand team, the name brand quarterback, but Washington's the play, and they really weren't. It was a wrong play, and it was one of those where you think, okay, those Massey Peabody models and stuff that use the whole season's stats, not just the last 6 or 8 games or whatever number you want to go to with the Redskins, and maybe that's why they use the whole season. Maybe it's results like that bear out that most of the time the full body of work is what matters.
Yeah, someone commented it was the first time all 5 of us in staff picks picked the same team. I'm not sure if that's true.
No, I did. I said it was the first time. It was the first time we've all had the same best bet.
Best bet. That's what I meant. Yeah. Sorry. Obviously, I meant best bet. Yeah. But obviously, you're going to be more likely when there's only 4 games available.
Right. Yes, it's not as remarkable as it would never happen in a 16-game slate.
Right. But nevertheless, I admit I fully got that one wrong. I didn't bet quite as much as Mark Stopa on Washington, but I did have them with Seattle, which was lucky, and Alabama last night in a 3-team moneyline parlay that would have paid not an insignificant amount of money. So that was frustrating, but they flat out got beat. I'm not going to even complain. It wasn't like I was on the wrong side or something. I mean, even with that lead, and maybe DeSean Jackson should have scored another 4 points or whatever on that deal. Whatever. Green Bay just flat out dominated them in the second half. It's weird because I want to say, that's what I get for betting against Aaron Rodgers, but, he only finished with 210 yards.
5.8 YPA.
Yeah, so it's like they started running the ball and suddenly, it's so funny, Devontae Adams and Randall Cobb catching touchdowns when I had James Jones in a few fantasy leagues, but very, very infuriating. And, I guess that's what I get for betting on. Washington beat approximately 0 teams with a winning record this season, and apparently Kirk Cousins has the same thing for his entire career. He's yet to beat a team with a winning record. So I guess that's what I get.
Yeah, and also Washington's D was bad all year.
Bad, yes.
I mean, let's just put it this way. Arizona's going to crush Green Bay, right? I don't like that they crushed them already because the team figures out, they adjust. The team that crushes them doesn't need to adjust, so they don't adjust. But I still think
we just saw that with Seattle, Minnesota.
Yeah, right, exactly. Minnesota adjusted. We saw it with Atlanta, Carolina the second time they played. A lot of second-time games are not nearly the same, but I don't care. I'm still going to Arizona. I just think they're better. They got crushed by Seattle at home. I think that kept this line at only 7. Yep. Green Bay winning made them, gives them some fake momentum. I just think that Arizona at home with the 2 weeks is just such a better team on both sides of the ball. Green Bay is not going to be able to slow them down. David Johnson is going to have a monster game, and that the Green Bay's really still doesn't have any playmakers. They have nobody to stretch the field. They have nobody to run after the catch. It's very hard to run on Arizona. They were a top 5 run defense. I think Arizona's going to win 27 to 17 or 30 to 17, something like that.
Yeah, I agree. So other than the Kansas City, New England, all 3 of these other games this weekend are rematches, and they're not divisional games either. So because I have a gambling problem and I lost that, the Washington one, I did a moneyline parlay with Alabama last night and Arizona. So I think that they're going to win this game and cover as well. I went money line just because I'm a coward, but I'm also picking them to cover.
You're such a coward. Money line. That's like a you're barely getting anything for that. You're like adding a leg to your parlay and getting nothing for it.
Yeah, you're getting some, but I do expect them to cover as well. I'm picking them to cover the spread. Arizona, I like as well. I agree with you.
Let me ask you this: net in your life, fantasy and gambling combined, what do you think your number is? Like, just if you had to get within $500 of the correct number, and if you did, you get $1 million. What would your guess be? I know you'd probably think about it more than you will right now, but. You get $1 million if you're win 500. If you're within, because there is a true number, right? There is an actual number. It's just like how many Oreos have you eaten in your life? There's a number, right? I mean, you might not know it, but there's a number. There's an actual factual number for a lot of these things. Like how many grains of rice have you eaten in your life? There's a number. There's a number for what your net, gambling and fantasy combined, is. And I'm going to say guess the number.
That's so
interesting.
Survivor
counts, all that stuff.
That's so interesting. I'm definitely down in football this year. There's no question about that.
This year, I'm talking about lifetime.
I know. I'm just saying that. I won the Warriors. I had them at 20-1 to win the title last year. That certainly helped. This number would be very different if a company in which I shouldn't name owed me nearly 10 grand and went bankrupt.
I think you can count that.
I can count that.
Yeah,
okay,
because it's bullshit. I mean, that's not fair. I if you won it, you won it. I mean, you earned it. So
I finished, I think, fourth overall in a massive thing, equivalent to NFBC. Not NFBC, to be clear. A company that's now bankrupt. I still get about every 18 months, I get a letter from the government talking about the bankruptcy, and I'm still screwed, and it just trolls me.
You're like a creditor on the list, and you're way down the list. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I, flew out to Las Vegas to do that in person, but that was like around $8,000 or $9,000. But man, I don't know. I'm probably going to overestimate myself, but, let's put it this way. If the Steelers win the Super Bowl this year,
no ifs.
I don't know. Probably I'll just say even.
Even? You suck.
I don't know. I mean, I bet.
All right.
I bet,
well, look, you get $1 million if you're within, you know what? I looked it up. You are $501 profitable, so you don't get the million.
Yeah, I'm probably. Yeah. What do you say? I mean, you're gonna. You're.
No, I think I'm up like. Stopa
a couple years ago. I won Stopa a couple years ago. I don't know. I don't want to say. I mean, it seems like it's bragging.
I actually kept records of it on a spreadsheet for the last 10 or 12 years, and I could look it up actually right now. But I think it's. I don't. And that's. It doesn't go all the way back. But I obviously, as you get older, you. Get more money. The problem with me, the noise for me is the free rolls, right? Like I get a lot of free rolls with work.
Right.
So like I won, like $7,000 in baseball, but some of that was free roll, and then I had to give some of it to RotoWire. So it's a little noisy, the thing, but I'm looking at it the way I have it. $15,110 is how much I have since 2003. And that includes like poker winnings and losings and all that.
Okay.
So 15
okay.
grand.
Nice. Okay. To be clear, if you did count that other league we talked about, then I would be up whatever. I was not counting that. So I'd be up $8,000 or $9,000 or something.
All right. And I mean, again, like it's 15 grand here, but some of it's free rolls, So like it's, I get like, I'm starting with the lead. Like I get those NFBC. I'm not counting the 1500, that I don't pay for them. So like, that would actually cut into it quite a bit.
No, you're right. Yeah. No, I've been playing primetime lately.
So
been,
I might be down to like $6,000 or something if I paid for all that stuff.
Right.
So,
right.
But then again, I might not play as many,
Right.
I might not be managing 8 teams on a Sunday and half-assing it sometimes, So it's hard to say, but it is an interesting question. And it's not that much, right? I mean, one DFS score for somebody crushes that whole lifetime.
Right,
and
right.
And I've also been a very small stakes. Like I don't really, I'm not like betting $1,000 a game or something. I've never done that. If I think I bet like $500 or $600. I risked on that Denver. Nah, maybe it was like $400 or $500 on that Denver Seattle Super Bowl. I took back $1,100. That was good because I had some odds. I had some I had some alternative lines odds, but I don't typically bet a lot in a game.
Yeah, Super Bowl, I'll go like maybe $500 or something at the most. I think your Giants won me against the Patriots, the second time I was big on that. I must admit I was on Denver during that Seattle Super Bowl. But yeah, you should only bet whatever is for fun. You should never bet an amount that'll make you mad. Of course, it still results me in any injustice. I still get irate, but it's just for fun.
Yeah, I get mad no matter what. I mean, just losing Stopa finals. I mean, I wasn't that mad, but it's like – you know, it would have been nice.
Sure, but nothing like I'm saying, nothing to.
Yeah, I'm not that mad. My friend, I got to tell you, sir, my friend, the year the Giants played the Ravens in the Super Bowl in 2000, and, you know, this is a long time ago, he's a huge Giants fan. He's crazy. This is how much of a Giants fan he is, how crazy he is, and he hates the Jets so much. He says he would agree to have Eli, this is like in, I don't know, 5-6 years ago when Revis was really good on the Jets and Mark Sanchez was their up-and-coming QB. He's like, I would trade an Eli torn ACL for a Revis and Sanchez death. He's like, I would agree to have Eli lost for the season if those two guys died. That's how much he hated the Jets, okay? Now, this guy bet $11,000 on, I'm not going to say his name because I don't, you know, he's a good dude. He's, in spite of what I just said, he didn't really mean it. It was kind of a joke, but he did say it. And he said he would bet, he actually did bet 11 grand on the Giants Ravens Super Bowl and had a bunch of people over. And he's also a hardcore alcoholic, this guy. He got so blacked out by like in the middle of the third quarter, you know, was looking bleak, and then just like went upstairs in the middle of his party to pass out. You know, woke up the next day or later that night or whatever with the just worst hangover of all time. Out, you know, his team got blown out in the Super Bowl. He was out 11 grand. I mean, you imagine that? Like, what a horrible, just you come to, you know, when you're drinking and you wake up, you come to and you're like, what's, you know, what happened? Where am I? What, you know, you kind of piece together the story of what happened. That's just not a pleasant way to start your day.
I had a similar experience when Richard Sherman called Michael Crabtree's sorry ass receiver in the NFC Championship game. It came out at the very end. I must say, I had a similar, not quite 11 grand, same, but it wasn't. I didn't go to sleep sober that night. Let's put it that way.
Right. You just wake up and then you remember exactly what happened. It's terrible.
Yeah. So, you know, sometimes some people go to sleep and they wake up. Other people pass out and come too.
Right. That's right. That's right. All right. Well, I'll leave this story. There's another story, but we'll skip that one for now. Seattle, plus, so we're both on Arizona. Seattle plus 3. It's 2.5 in some places, but I'm going to keep it a 3 for now. Wow, it's 2 at one place. We might have to take this one down to 2.5, which is a big difference. But Seattle, we'll start with 3 for now. Seattle plus 3 at Carolina. And, you know, I mean, Carolina's reward for going 15-1 is to draw Seattle in the first round. That's another thing with the NFL. Like, it's ridiculous that Arizona, they could have got the first seed, but once Carolina won and they lost, it's way better to be the second seed right now.
Yeah, I mean, Seattle obviously didn't play very well. That I really underestimated the temperatures of that when I was.
I think that's what it was. I think it was just the Vikings are tough. You know, they're not good, but they're really tough. And in that environment, there's, you know, on the road, that's just, you know, that I don't really, I'm not going to count that against the Seahawks.
Yeah, and I invested in Russell Wilson like the first in like 4 of those fantasy playoff leagues where you know, you draft from scratch, and I drafted him, I think, in 3 of them or something, and Doug Baldwin often in the second round, and that was just, boy, that would just not look too great. They did connect once, whatever, but the their defense played quite well. I mean, Adrian Peterson did nothing. I can't remember Teddy Bridgewater completing a pass that went longer than 8 yards down the field, but obviously they got really lucky. I thought Pete Carroll was a pretty good coach, but it drove me crazy when a first down wins the game and continues your season. They just run Kristen Michael up the middle 2 times and get him in a 3rd and long. It resulted in, you know, just nothing. And then, of course, a punt with a really, you know, heavy ball gets the Minnesota the ball at the 40-yard line, and right, one pass interference later, and they're in field goal range. I was just like, what just happened? Like, they had this game in hand, and now they totally deserve to lose, whatever the laces were in and whatever. And apparently Walsh kicks all of his extra points from the right hash mark, and he was on the far left. Not that that's an excuse, but it's just interesting they didn't make a point of getting it to where he normally likes to kick. But I was just like totally considered that a defeat when I was like not even paying attention. And he totally changed it to the left. Pretty crazy. But anyway, I think Seattle is a very good team. Obviously Carolina 15-1, as you mentioned, but I'm taking the points here. I expect the Seahawks to go into Carolina. Carolina, by the way, went into Seattle earlier this year and won, but I expect the Seahawks to win this game.
Me too. Seattle's going to win. It's just that crap. It's going to be annoying. They're going to maybe win the Super Bowl, and it's going to be like they should have. I don't know. I actually think Arizona-Seattle is going to be the real showdown next week, but I'm picking Seattle outright too. So we're on the same page.
Okay.
I love Russell Wilson, Tyler Lockett, and Doug Baldwin. I like the Seattle passing game in and even Lynch or Michael, whoever starts, I'm going to have a lot of DFS shares of Seattle. I'm going to fade the Arizona ones. I'll use David Johnson, but I'm going to stay and then maybe a share of Michael Floyd in DraftKings where there's a flex. But I think everyone's going to be on the high over-under game, which is Green Bay, Arizona. And I think Arizona's going to just – I think David Johnson's going to have a huge game, but I don't necessarily – I think there's a good – I'm not saying it's not going to happen, but I think there's a good chance that Palmer doesn't have to do much more than be a caretaker in this game and maybe throws, you know, 200 and two touchdowns, but it's nothing huge.
That's interesting because I already set my – we have to do an optimal DFS lineup for right. Yahoo, and I went, yeah, Palmer – David Johnson, John Brown, and Floyd. So,
well, that's going to be the chalk. That's what people are going to be doing.
Right.
And I can't really get away from David Johnson, but the rest of them, I think you can fade and instead use Seattle's receivers and passing game. You know, Doug Baldwin's often in the slot. I don't think Norman's going to have him a lot, and Tyler
Correct.
Lockett is just so fast that I'm not sure that it's going to matter. I think he may blow by him, and Russell Wilson's going to scramble around and make some broken plays. And then the tight end, I think Carolina, you know, is Olsen. I think it's going to be a higher score. I think it's going over this game.
Yeah, I did put Olsen in there. That's the one area that Seattle actually has been vulnerable is against the tight end. So what do you make of this Marshawn Lynch deal? You realize that a lot of people talk about, well, when Russell Wilson took off, it was because, you know, Jimmy Graham went down. It also kind of coincided when Lynch went down. I don't know if it's a playbook issue or a locker room thing, which clearly the guy's a weird guy. Normally I don't like anecdotal stuff like that, but like he just kind of alluded to this team that he was going to play all week and then just said, no, I'm not, Friday night. I mean, kind of weird. I don't know. There's some situation there. If I'm a Seattle fan, I'm not sure I'm even rooting for him to suit up this week.
He's a pretty big badass, though. I mean, they should have won that Super Bowl if they just handed him the goddamn ball. I mean, he's a monster. And, yeah. You know, he had an abdominal tear. And I could see, like, you know, he's running around okay and he makes a weird cut or something, you know, doesn't feel right. And he's just like, I don't want to play with this, you know. You don't want to play – your abdomen is just, I don't know. I see no reason to not
enough.
Take him at face value, you know, that that he couldn't play. He's certainly not a soft player, you know. I mean, he's.
Oh, definitely not. Definitely.
He doesn't like the media, you know. I don't like him either. And I don't even have to talk to them.
Okay.
And, you know, there's really no indication that Marshawn Lynch is not a good guy, you know. I mean, I think he's just. He's like Manny Ramirez, you know. He's the Manny Ramirez of football.
I said different. I didn't say bad guy,
yeah.
No.
He's like the Manny Ramirez of football. You know, like Manny Ramirez is a good guy. He did his own weird thing.
Sure.
So,
all right. Fair enough.
Yeah. So I don't know, but you know, maybe just because they didn't force the run sometimes and it helped Wilson. All right.
It is pretty crazy though. I must say real quick, Kristen Michael was probably the guy dropped and added in most different fantasy teams this year. And the most talked about player who didn't do anything. And although he became important in the fantasy playoffs when he laid a goose egg, and he was a starting running back for you know, arguably one of the best teams in the league in a playoff game. Kind of crazy. And he dominated. I think Bryce Brown got a – I don't know if he got his played a snap. Pretty crazy.
How about this? None of us drafted Michael in our Yahoo. I mean, he wasn't drafted. He's playing. He could be the most valuable player when all is said and done in the league, and he's undrafted.
Right. And a lot of running backs are drafted. Yeah, crazy.
You want to hear something else interesting is that if you look at the biggest favorites, besides, you know, Carolina, Seattle's a three-point game, but the big favorites, Arizona – Brady, you know, in Palmer in Arizona, Brady in New England, and Peyton in Denver were all playing in 2003. The three biggest favorites in the 2016 playoffs were all quarterbacks that played in the year 2003. I mean, it's just so crazy.
Right. You know what I didn't I failed to point out on this podcast last week, but all four home quarterbacks last week in the playoffs combined for zero playoff starts.
Right. There was the first for every one of them, right?
Yeah, pretty crazy.
Yeah. And it was the last. I mean, it's not necessarily the last, but.
First time ever, all four road teams.
Yeah, they're not going to have a second until sometime in the future, if ever. Yeah. All right, so we're both on Seattle and Arizona, and I do expect a rematch. I mean, the Carolina game is going to be good, I think. I don't think they're going to. I think it's going to be like a back and forth thing. And then Pittsburgh plus, looks like 6.5 now at Denver. And there's been a lot of conflicting information about Antonio Brown and Roethlisberger. And the question is, Roethlisberger played. He looked like he couldn't throw the ball more than 10 yards on that final drive. And so, you know, is he going to be able to throw it even if he does play? Even that version was better than Landry Jones. Landry Jones was 0% chance of doing anything. And now this is in Denver on the road against a rested, amazingly good defense. D'Angelo Williams doesn't look like he's going to play. Those other two guys, Tobin and Toussaint, look pretty good. So, that didn't seem like that big a deal, but Antonio Brown also, I guess Antonio Brown's now probable, it looks like. And
really?
That's what it says on the site, on this site. I don't know what it says in RotoWire. But, you know, concussion is one of those things that, like, as long as you're not symptomatic, you know, I mean, it's, you know, that you can play. It's not like an ankle that you're playing through. Although the last one that we have is he's not looking good to play, according to Bob Holtzman.
Bob Holtzman says it, yes. Bob, that's the one I was worried, yes.
Because what's funny is he says that, but on this Vegas odds site, it says probable.
Yeah, well, you know what was also interesting to me is that this line came out immediately. Like, if you ever would think that there would be, you know, a no line for a while, that I guess they're just, you know, Ben Roethlisberger's a badass. You know, he's, what do you call him?
Our contemporary ancestor.
Yeah. That's pretty sick as someone rooting for Pittsburgh to see him come back. I mean, Jeremy Hill killed all my fantasy teams all year.
But how could you? I mean, how can you do it, man? I mean, just go down, you know? Honestly, like, you just can't. I mean, Peterson, too, though. I mean, Adrian Peterson. But, that, you know, the situation was even worse with Hill. But, yeah.
No, man, I mean, he killed my fantasy teams all year. I mean, Jeremy Hill, I had invested in Stolpa.
Well, he killed your fantasy team and he saved your bet.
Right. That's what but I'm saying before that, he looked like a monster. I was like, where was this? He was like making really good runs against a very good run defense. And then he puts it on the carpet. And I'm like, yes, that's some justice there. And then Roethlisberger comes back in. And I was like, getting really fired up. But now, what I don't know what you want me to say. I'm in a sprained AC joint, torn ligaments. I mean, it just all comes down to the health here, right? I mean, if Pittsburgh was totally healthy, I would guess this spread would be, I don't know, 3, right?
At best, 2.5, 3. It'd be like Seattle, Carolina.
Yeah.
It'd be just like Seattle.
So Pittsburgh defends the run well. Their shaky secondary, especially on deep throws. What does Denver do the worst possibly in the league? Throw the ball deep.
Yeah,
I mean, so it's really interesting.
Peyton it was such a small sample, but he did look like a little bit more. I mean, it was a very small sample against the Chargers, but he overthrew a couple guys. Maybe that wasn't a good sign because he's overcompensating, right? It's like anybody can load up and throw a deep ball, but you got to be able to throw a deep ball with touch without that much effort, right? Maybe that's the issue because you got to be able to just throw it, taking one step, and maybe he loaded up too much and overthrew a guy, but the ball was flying out of his hand pretty good when he came back into that game.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. You know, it's too bad for Carolina for having a great regular season and having to face Seattle. Denver was very close to, I guess, being the 5 seed, but still they earn the 1 seed and they get, you know, a really banged up Pittsburgh team. New England gets a Kansas City team without Macklin possibly. So I guess it does pay off to be, you know, the better team in the regular season. So I just don't really have a lean here because I don't know the health of these players, but I'm guessing Roethlisberger is going to be limited at best. So
I'm also going to be... Brown is a huge factor because, I mean, Martavis Bryant is like such a weapon, but he's inconsistent. And
I don't understand what a catch is, by the way. I was obviously rooting for that to be called a catch, but I just am so confused as someone who was also rooting for Dez Bryant's catch last year. I'm very confused.
Yeah, we can't rehash this. Don't even get me started down the path of why that happened and why the league is in this place that it's at. It was a crazy thing, though. That's one of the craziest things I've ever seen. But Martavis Bryant, if he's on, could be, you know, could beat these Denver DBs.
They burn him. I mean, they burn him last time they faced him. But this is a totally different situation. Denver coming off a bye, really good defense, and now all banged up players. And Antonio Brown is, yes, obviously very important.
Yeah, I like C.J. Anderson in DFS this week. I know Pittsburgh's got a good run D.
I agree.
But I think they're going to, you know, if they get a lead, they're going to protect. They're not going to do a lot, and they're going to hand it off, and Pittsburgh's going to get worn down, the altitude. You know, it's just, I think C.J. Anderson can go off. And
I put him in that optimal lineup.
I like, you know, him, obviously, and David Johnson's the no-brainer. And I have some Seattle passing game components, and Olsen is my tight end. You know, you're right. There's no point in even talking about this game, right? I mean, what are we going to say until we know Brown's health and Roethlisberger's health, right? I mean, I'm going to write something up tomorrow and post it. I guess I don't really have to. I could do it on – there's no Thursday night game, but I like to just get it done early in the week. But, I mean, there's really nothing to be said about this game, right? I mean, if – let's just assume that Antonio Brown is not playing, that Roethlisberger is, and it's 6.5. Who are you taking?
Yeah, well, I'm obviously rooting hardcore for Pittsburgh, and I just do not believe in Denver at all, so I'm going to take them, but I'm sure I'll be wrong. One thing I will say, and I know it seems silly, but just a day or two difference, but it is nice that they've played Saturday and then they play the late game Sunday. You know, I mean, so they do get a full other, you know, extra day to rest up, but man, I just don't really – Denver just does not impress me at all. But their defense is really strong. But I'm going to take the points. But, you know, I guess I could hedge it. But I'm obviously going to be really hardcore rooting for Pittsburgh because, speaking of hedging, they win this game. The amount of money I bet on them, I'll definitely be able to hedge if they make the AFC Championship game. But I'm not optimistic. But Pittsburgh's defense actually looked pretty good. I know it was A.J. McCarron. But I'm going to take the points, I think.
Well, you know, A.J. McCarron is just as good as Peyton was, better than Peyton, I mean, most of the year. I have a 19-3 Denver or something. Like, it's just going to be one of these games where you're like, it's so disappointing that that this version of Pittsburgh has to play and we have to watch this. Right. And it's that probably D is good. They're rested. I don't know. I'm going to say 19-3 Denver. And I hope I'm wrong because that would be a boring game, but – right now, if Brown doesn't play, the good thing about Brown, though, is that it's a concussion, meaning if he does play, he's not going to be limited. It's not like he's going to be limping around an ankle or something.
He's not like a quarterback with torn ligaments.
That's right. I just think this is just bad for. It's one of those things where they just gift Denver the into the championship game, and they, you know, they're going to get a home game either against a banged up New England team or KC with or without Macklin. Although Kansas City drilled them last time they played in Denver, so.
Oh, I promise you I'll be
KC could end up in the Super Bowl. It's not that far-fetched.
If Kansas City faces Denver, I will pick Kansas City to win outright.
So crazy if they get to the Super Bowl. They're going to get – I think they would get drilled, though, against like one of those, you know, Arizona, Seattle, Carolina teams, though.
Yeah, maybe even Green Bay.
No, Green Bay. They would – Green Bay – I think they would beat Green Bay. Anyway, all right, man. Well, you got any final thoughts? Anything else? Sorry about your flood. You're going to go back to the flood now? That's your.
Oh, I'm going to deal with this rest of the night. Yeah, this is terrible. I might need Pittsburgh to win this Super Bowl just to pay for this damage that it's done tonight.
Yeah, that's. I had some dental work I have to do. I just realized like $1,500, and I won the $500 last night. I was like, all right, well, that's a third of it. It's right. Like I'm worse off, but not as bad off. So, all right, man. Well,
you going to be at FSTA next week?
I'm not, man. I told you this, right?
No, I don't think so.
So I, you know, Heather and I were going to Sun Valley, Idaho, to her friend's house to go skiing, and she was like, "What?" You know, it's like 3-4 months ago. She's like, "What dates are your thing?" So, you know, let me know. I won't book it during the thing. And I told her, and so she booked the trip. Although she cut it really close, where I had like get back to LAX and then fly to Vegas that same day. I wouldn't even go home. I was like, "That's fine. That's probably easier. It saves me a trip to the airport and back." And then when they moved it to Dallas for obvious reasons, they changed the dates.
I've never even been to Dallas, but I'm going to this. Mark Cuban's the keynote speaker. Come on.
Yeah. I've never been to Dallas either. But I don't really care about that.
You were such a coward.
I'm going skiing in Idaho. I'd way rather do that. It's going to be nice. It's going to be really nice. We can take Sasha sledding down the hill and downhill. There's like sledding. We're going to get her on skis for a day too. So.
We have a Yahoo trip the following month in L.A., so maybe we'll meet up again like usual.
Yeah. I told Funston and Evans, like, I'll host it again. So they seem to be on board with it.
All right, cool.
All right, man. I'll catch you next week. Good luck.
All right, thanks. Go Steelers.
Take it easy. This is Dalton Del Don, Yahoo Sports. This is Chris Liss of RotoWire. You are listening to the East Coast Offense Podcast.